You are listening to the podcast of Lancaster Covenant Church. We seek to worship God, tell others about Jesus Christ, nurture new believers, and grow together in the knowledge and love of our Savior.
Well, good morning. Welcome to worship. Please stand and join us, and thank you for joining us online. We are going to begin by singing our first song, Stand in Your Love. Please sing it out. Good to see everybody. Good morning. My voice is still coming back and I sang too loud, so I hope I won't cough. If you'd like to turn in your bulletins, we'll go through a few announcements today, and I'm also going to have Faye come up in just a little bit. Next Sunday is our annual meeting, and the very first thing I really would love to say to you is please come. Excuse me. We need you here, and we've got a lot of decisions to make, and we are excited about what's next, even with my voice is disappearing. I just think we would really love to have you stay. The annual meeting is right after the worship service, and we will also be doing pizza. And the way we're going to handle that is to make it as easy as possible. So if you come and you have a family, or if you come alone, whatever, bring a pizza with you, and we will bake it here. And we will help do this together as a church. We will clean up. We will serve one another. And, excuse me. I'll try not to sing so much next time. It's such a good song, though, I couldn't stop. So please, the next Sunday is our annual meeting, right after worship. Serving committee, if there's two people who are on Jess and Lindsay's serving committee that would be willing to be serving chairs for a year, please contact Lindsay and Jess and let them know. We would really appreciate that. Also, handouts, excuse me, in the handouts that Sherry's been doing, she worked so hard, and I don't know if you had help, Sherry, or not, but every time I went by the church, they were here working away, so they've got these giving statements, and also surveys for members that we would really like you to fill out and have them here. If you can't mail them back before Sunday, bring them with you next Sunday, and Dan Joshik said that would be more than fine. We will look at them, and we'll definitely go over and see what your heart is, how God is speaking to you about what the next pastor should be for us. So be in prayer, please. Very, very important. Birthdays today, we have Clifford's birthday. Is Clifford here? I don't know. He might be doing hockey. I'm not sure. But so if you see Clifford somewhere, please wish him a happy birthday. Also, there is a baby shower on Saturday, January 28th at 2 o'clock. That is for Heather Finney. And she is registered there at babylist.com. Everyone is welcome to come and celebrate with Heather. What a blessing and a exciting moment in their first, Heather and Rudy's first child together. Pretty special. They'll never be the same, and we know that. There's a bridal shower for Liz Webster as well on February 5th at 3 o'clock in the fellowship hall, and everyone is invited to attend that. I don't know if there's anything else I need to say about that, but please come out and support Liz and the exciting new life that they are about to endeavor on. Also, there's a pastoral search committee. We'll be meeting almost most Sundays for right after the worship service, so watch for the minutes from the previous meeting if there's going to be one the next Sunday. So, anything else that I might have missed? Faye, were you coming up to talk about fellowship, about the Valentine's meal? You got something else? Okay, I better read that then. Fellowship Valentine's Meal is hosting a Valentine's Day meal on February 15th. Come at 6 to visit, with the meal being served at 6:30. The cost is $30 a couple or $15 a person. So sign up by February 5th in the foyer and contact Kristen Vig or Jody Peterson with any questions that you might have. So, Christy.
Just two of you through things. I did put a post out. Sherry shared it. It's wonderful. Mm-hmm. We'll need sleds for this Wednesday. We're super grateful that Bob and Jean Lott are letting us sled there. So kids are supposed to meet here around 6:45. We'll drive the kids who want to sled out there.
Okay.
And then have the rest of the year play games and back end here with Coco. So we're just looking for sleds.
Okay, looking for sleds. And that is next Wednesday, right?
And then also, we would like to go on the ski trip. We have a weekend set and everything. Mm-hmm. Probably do need drivers and chaperones because of some things with some of the chaperones unable to attend.
Okay.
It's President's Day weekend,
Okay, so President's Day weekend for the ski trip, we need drivers and volunteers for that as well. Chaperoning and driving, so thank you, Christy, very much. Okay, anything else? I know last Wednesday was, it was like an underground church thing that the youth had here, and it was phenomenal. I actually avoided the church the whole night for that very reason. I tell you, God is amazing. My house was taken up by women's Bible study. The church was full of kids everywhere. And I was in my pickup just driving around town looking for a place to do something. I was homeless, actually homeless. And I saw someone that I needed to see, and an hour and a half of visiting with a young man, totally God-designed. God is at work in so many ways, and I think we just need to be watching and listening, and maybe that's why we're doing this series on the Holy Spirit. I'm usually clueless as to why. I'm glad God tells me once in a while. So anything else, Faye, if you want to come up, please. And thank you for all that everyone is doing.
I just have a couple things. One of them is the lost and found items that we have out there. We've gotten rid of quite a few, so people have picked them up, but there's snow pants and gloves and hats, all kinds of neat things. So please check to see if you or your kids, if it belongs to anybody, because after this week, Peggy will be taking it to the Boys Ranch for a donation. So if there's anything that you really feel you're missing, please check the tables. And then also in the next month or so, since Galen's been doing the series on the Holy Spirit, I really feel that there's something that I want to share with whoever wants to too. It's a study on the Holy Spirit. And it just says, who is the Holy Spirit and exactly what does he do? Because I feel sometimes people just don't really understand who the Holy Spirit is and what he's here for, why he's here for us. And I'm just going to read a little bit here, and then I'll maybe share again next week, and then I'll know more of when to have the study, but just if anybody's interested, they can contact me. It says, many people find the Holy Spirit mysterious, confounding, even controversial. Why is the third person in the Godhead, the one Jesus said would be the believer's ultimate source of truth and comfort, the source of such confusion? In The God I Never Knew, Robert Morris clearly explains that the Holy Spirit's chief desire is for relationship, to offer us the encouragement and guidance of a trusted friend. This insightful and biblically based book moves beyond theological jargon, religious tradition, and cultural misconceptions to clarify what the Holy Spirit promises to do in our lives. Examples are to dwell within you, to guide you into all truth, to pray for you, never leave you, be your helper, comfort you, and show you things to come. Okay, so just some food for thought. Just pray about it and talk to me if you're interested.
Thank you, Faye. I've read that, and it is an awesome study, so please consider that as well. Okay. I'm going to get through this. Ushers, come on up, please, and praise team, and we're going to share in the offering together. And for those of you who are online, please send in your prayer requests. We would love to pray for you. Okay, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We pray that you'd guide us, that you would bless this offering, and that you would lead us as a church. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Waymaker, please sing along. That's okay.
Maybe a better key for you.
it would be with my voice right now. Much better. Thank you. No problem. Let's sing it out.
You are here.
Good morning. We have another nice day to be thankful for. Scripture today is from Isaiah 40, 28 through 31. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young man shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Isaiah 40. Okay, prayer requests. Yeah, praying country, that's for sure then. Sandy.
And praise for this new little baby in front of us here, who is Johnson. He's just so precious.
Where are they? I can't see. Oh.
Griffin.
Yeah. Oh, look. We have another baby, too. How's that baby doing?
Yeah. I want to praise for Megan and the baby. They're in Farmville Wednesday night, Lycoman Pancreas. He's in NICU for oxygen therapy, but so Megan is discharged and will be in the McDonald House for a few days.
Okay.
Therapy will take care of the baby. So praise for them, prayer for them.
Awesome.
And the baby is doing well, though? 5 weeks early, and it still weighed 6 pounds, 5 ounces. Wow, that would have been a 9-pounder. Okay, who else do we have? I don't want to. Faye.
Prayer for Chuck. He has an appointment tomorrow with Barbara, and we're going to head down today.
Good.
And then also prayer for Lois.
Okay, anybody else? And that was Jake. Be a busy road to Fargo. Betty.
Pray for Jim that he has quick healing on his broken ankle.
Ooh. Kristen. Did you say Kenny?
No, Penny.
Penny. Okay, that didn't make sense. Okay. Okay. Anybody else? Yes, Carrie.
Grandpa Mandy.
Is Grandpa sick?
He had surgery and he hasn't been able to come home yet.
Oh. Okay. Anybody else? Oh, okay. Anybody up there?
Yep.
Dan.
Pray for protection against spiritual attack because if you're a Christian, you don't think you're under attack, you're innocent. So,
everywhere we turn. All right. Okay, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we know you're an awesome God. We know you take care of us every single day, every minute of the day, and it's just pretty comforting knowing that we always have you to count on. We pray, we're just thankful, Lord, for this miracle with this young football player that was dead on the field, and they brought him back to life, and he's just perfect now. He's fine. He's getting stronger, and we've seen such a wonderful result because of this incident. We've seen a whole nation learning how to pray and praying for this young man and just plain praying, and it's just such a blessing, and we're so thankful for that. We're especially thankful that this young man is home and back with his team and probably ultimately will again play. I just hope and pray that that's the case, but we're just thankful to see the result of this incident, how much it's created prayer in our nation. We want to thank you for this little miracle, baby Griffin. It's for me, I feel like when there's a birth, that's one of the miracles that we see on earth. And to see this beautiful, beautiful, healthy, strong baby, mom's doing well, baby's doing well, and we thank you, Lord, for that. We also want to bring baby Pancratz before you, born early and doing really, really well, but is going to have to be in the NICU for a while. And we just pray that he continues to increase oxygen levels and that his lungs will gain all the strength that they need. We pray for Megan. Having a baby early is really scary, and then having to have a C-section, so we just pray that she is able to rest and recuperate and that ultimately both will be home as soon as they can be. We pray for Chuck, who undergoes an appointment in Fargo, and he's been battling so many things and these headaches and weight loss, and we just pray that this appointment will be one step closer to finding out what's causing all of these things. We pray for Lois. It's really frightening when you stop and think about it if you can't breathe, and Lois is really struggling with shortness of breath. She has an MRI next week, but it has to be because she has a pacemaker. It has to be with a cardiologist present when they do this, and so we just pray that as she sits at home and just is scared to do anything and doesn't have the strength to do anything, that this MRI next week will answer the questions for them so that they can find out what's going on. And we pray for Jake, who has another follow-up checkup this week, and all of his checkups have been just great, and we just pray that this is going to continue with the one that's coming up this week. And we pray for Jim, who has a broken ankle. It's difficult to have anything broken, but it's really hard for a man to have something broken. And so we just pray that this heals quickly and that he's going to have the patience that he's going to need to be off this foot for a while. So just give him the patience and the desire to take it easy until this ankle heals properly. We pray for Penny, who has breast cancer, and ultimately, right now, they do not know what they're going to do as far as treatment, but we just pray that the doctors have the wisdom to do what's best for Penny. Give her peace of mind. Help her with this. Give her the strength that she needs to accept what has to be done. And same for her family. It's just a shock for everybody in the family when there's a cancer diagnosis. We pray for Randy that he's going to be able to come home soon. Here again is a man who doesn't like laying around, and he's going to have to take it easy for a while. So we just pray that when he comes home, he is able to do that and that he gives his body time to heal. And Lord, all of us are under a spiritual attack. A lot of us don't see it. We don't know it, but it's around us everywhere we are. We pray that we would have the strength to understand this and to see it when it's happening and to help turn it around. We're a strong nation, and we can do anything. And if we decide that we're going to beat this, we can. Prayer has been started across the nation with this young man. And so I just pray that this is another way for us to see the attack that's going on all around us and give us the strength and the wisdom to fight it. Lord, we thank you for another beautiful day. In your precious name, amen.
Thank you, Sue.
Yep.
Praise team, come on up, and we will continue to worship. Please stand. We'll begin with, "We Believe."
and he's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that he conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and he's coming back again. We believe. So let us. We believe that he conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and he's coming back again. Let the lost be found, and the dead be raised, and the here and now, and love in vain. Let the church live loud. Our God will save.
Great is our God. Just G, yeah.
Our God, sing with me, how great.
we just thank you that you are a great God. And we just pray, Lord, that we can remember that daily and we worship you daily. And we just thank you that no matter what our circumstances are, Lord, whatever we're struggling with, whether it's good times or bad times, that you are always there, you're always hearing us, and you will always protect us. And we just thank you for this day. We thank you for the message we're about to hear. And we just ask you to be with us as we go through the week. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Please be seated. Well, last week I talked about patience. That's going to be session one. This is session two. What are you waiting for? Yesterday, Julie and I left town early with three young people, Brody Scalise, Sam Webster, and Melody Voltz, and we went down for an honors band. And I saw the sign south of New Folden that said 17 miles to Thief River Falls. I thought, oh, here we go again. But we made it. We made it back home safely. And the whole trip was amazing. Julie is, I hope I can say this. I never asked her, but she's going to be done teaching music. Can I say that? I guess I just did, right? That's how I roll usually. So I usually say something and then I say, I'm sorry. But we went down there. Amazing time. The kids played amazingly well. We got up and left and decided where we were going to eat. The kids said, let's go to Pizza Ranch. I knew I was going to say Olive Garden because of John Eberle, but I knew that wasn't right. We went to Pizza Ranch, and we walked in, and there was a sign on the door that says, we're doing a soft opening by invitation only, and we thought, what on earth? So Julie walked up to the counter, and they said, no, you can definitely stay and eat with us. We're celebrating because we're coming into Bemidji. And they wouldn't let us pay. They bought us all free meals. We sat down. They gave the kids even tickets to go to the kids' zone. And we walked down. We sat down, and there walked up someone that knew us and hadn't seen us in many years. And the whole thing was a God thing again. Isn't it amazing? I love being clueless. I really do. Because I think that's when I really notice God a lot more, that he is so active in our lives and how he is so patient with us. I don't think it's by any chance at all, because I don't believe in chance. Without a doubt, this is by design, that when I sat down a couple weeks ago to write about patience, it ended up to be two messages for a reason, because that's how God designed it, and that's how God works. And so today we're in session two of patience, the fourth fruit of the Spirit. We have love, joy, peace, and now patience. And the question that we continue to ask ourselves is, what are we waiting for? And there's a lot in that question. And for me, it's very clear that for what purpose am I waiting? Why am I waiting? Is it because of me? Is it because of what I want? I pray that it's not, because I don't want to get in the way. So my question to you is, do you wait impatiently? How well do you wait? Do you wait expectantly? Do you wait in fear or worry or anxiety? Do you wait out of obligation? Or do you wait with excited anticipation of what is God up to next? Besides all these important questions, there's one promise that I for sure want you to take with you today. It's a promise that is so amazing, and God is just continually making it so clear to me that God right now, I promise you, is working in your life. Whether you see it, whether you feel it, whether you hear it, even whether you know it, because it's not up to you. Because this amazing God that we serve says, the work that I began in you, I will complete it. his sovereignty, his amazing authority over all things. And when we think things are out of control or there's chaos, God says, I saw that. I knew that. He never says, I never saw that coming. It's just the opposite. He says, I prepared you for that. And sometimes it's in waiting. So my second question to you then today is, are you ready to listen? Well, there seems to be three things that I thought about as I was writing of things that I need to in my life, and I think it would be in your life too, of how do you prepare to listen well while you wait in those little whiles of your life. Well, the first one for me that really speaks loudly to me is knowledge. Not human knowledge, the knowledge of God. The knowledge that he is God. There is no other. We need to know that, not just hope, but we need to know God as best as we can in this life. We also need to know that God has a plan for us because that's what his word says. And his plan for you comes with a definite purpose and a work that is specifically designed for you. That's how personal God is. Because God says so, and that he is accomplishing his purpose through that work in your life. Isn't that amazing? God could have done this without us. And yet he loves us so much that he invited us into this amazing work. We're not just going through time, not just spending this life waiting, living life, doing what we want to do. We are called to surrender completely. And time is precious, and we are not to waste it. Excuse me. And so his desire for us, I promise you, is that he wants us to know him better. This knowledge that he calls us to, he said, I want you to know me. When I think in the very beginning of time, when God says, let us create man in our image, it wasn't just to fill up space and time. It was because he had a purpose for his amazing creation. His desire is for us to know him and one day know him completely. So are you patient enough this morning to listen well? Are you patient enough and focused enough to put all distractions aside and listen to the Holy Spirit in your life? I pray you are, because God wants us to know him. He wants us to know him fully well. The second thing for me is trust. In my life, and in our family, of course, we have our scripture, and I've talked about it many times, and I might as well put it up there because I can't even focus until I read that. You're told to trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. So first of all, we're to lay hold of the knowledge of God and his promises, and then we are to trust him at his word. Because God is always faithful to complete his work on heaven and on earth and in you. And thirdly, there comes this wonderful word, perseverance, which is a hard word for many of us. Excuse me. We are called to be persistent in our faith. We are called to be patient in our walk. This patient we heard last week is basically considered, we are called to be long-tempered, long-suffering. In Philippians 1, 3 through 6, there's this amazing promise and this crazy guarantee that is so far beyond my understanding. I have read this and read this and read this, and I have come up with questions every single time as to why, God. Paul writes to the Philippians, he says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy as Paul writes from prison, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Paul's thanking them for that, for the fellowship in the gospel from the first day right up until that present day. Being confident of this very thing, that he who is God, who began a good work in you, will complete it until the day of Christ Jesus, or Jesus Christ. I keep thinking, why are these three things so important to me when I think of knowledge and trust and perseverance? There's a lot of times that's the best I can do, that I can just hang on to and hold on to this amazing promise, wondering, what is God up to? There are times I don't have a clue. I tell the pastors at ministerium many times when I meet with them, I said, I am the most clueless guy here. I don't feel like I fit in or belong, and they look at me like I'm some alien. And they understand, though. I think it's either that or they're just being very kind. But one thing that I do know from Scripture is that God is good all the time. You can trust him all the time. And in your patience and in the perseverance that you have, you can trust him to know that he's going to do what he says he's going to do all the time. And know that he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. So when I read that, I think, you know, there is nothing in this world, no matter how many times I mess up or say things that I wish I could just reel back in my mouth, that God is going to be faithful and complete it, and his work will be done. And I can always say, with or without me. But for me, I want to be along that for the ride that he has me on. So let's look at the importance of knowledge first. And I won't keep you much longer, but I just really want you to get this as what is on my heart today. I think of the disciples, for example. I think Jesus' disciples have been given knowledge. They'd had word from Jesus Christ himself. And to me, at that time, their faith was based primarily on firsthand knowledge of a Savior that they thought was going to save them right now from the Romans, that his kingdom would be established. They knew just a little bit. As amazing as that must have been to just be with Jesus, it wasn't enough for them to get through the little while that Jesus talked about in their life of what is coming. And he said, I have something better for you. And I think, what is better than the Son of God at that very moment? And he said, I'm going to send you the Spirit. That just amazes me. And how we don't grab a hold of the Holy Spirit in our lives as much as we should. The disciples needed specific knowledge. They needed the promises of God's word through the Holy Spirit. Because after we hear more of the story, we hear that after the crucifixion, we see this incredible lack of assurance with the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. The others were in hiding, of course. The afternoon of the resurrection, Jesus comes to these disciples on the road, these two people. It was there that Jesus came alongside them, and he said, why are you so downhearted? Why are you struggling? And they replied, it's because Jesus had been crucified, and we had hoped that he was the one that would deliver Israel. They didn't understand. And then Jesus began to open up to them the scriptures, we are told, and he showed them in the Word of God how it was a necessary part of God's plan that the Messiah would suffer, and through that suffering die, and through that dying rise again and enter into his glory. All part of God's plan. It amazed me how Jesus was there, and yet as Jesus opened up the word to them, they gained this knowledge, and their hearts burned strangely within them, we were told. What is it about the Word of God? What is it about the Holy Spirit that we're not fully grasping yet? Scripture tells us that the Word of God is like a seed, and when that seed is planted, there's this period of time of growing and one day coming into this fullness of maturity that Scripture talks about. It's during this growing time that we find ourselves in those little wiles of our life that our focus changes from confusion over the present situation or the past, and there's an eternal focus that should come to our mind. God does that same thing for us. I don't know if you have ever looked back in your life and all of a sudden you say, so that's what that was about. Because at the time you had no clue. I've done that so much in my life, especially over the last few years. Say, God, I didn't see that coming. So that's what that was about. Many times it's during these little whiles of our lives that we go through trials. We face sickness sometimes or even face death. And we press into him and we study his word and we seek fellowship and we pray. I think, why don't we just do that in the good times when we're not struggling? We eventually find that God is working in us, in spite of ourselves. And our vision changes from confusion and struggle to a vision that comes that says, we are no longer bound to the sins or the trials of this life because he is setting us free. And these huge obstacles that were once in front of us, these mountains that sometimes are still there every morning, have no power over us. As God is bigger than any mountain, as that song says. Bigger than any hang-up, bigger than anything. You think that maybe one day in eternity we will look back on this whole period of our human history. I think of that quite often. And it's just going to be a blink of an eye. And will we say then, so that's what that was about. Look at what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 18. He says, therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, and for Paul to say that, that's amazing, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and an eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things that which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. You and I are pilgrims on this earth, and we have this period that we are living out. Excuse me. Excuse me. If we could just grasp that knowledge that we are here for just a season, but what's coming is so much better. I love the passage in Isaiah, and as I picked this passage that Sue just read earlier, 2 weeks ago, this passage came to me from about 4 or 5 different people, things that I listened to, people I have nothing else to talk about other than to hear what they were saying. They all came with this verse. Sorry, I got to finish this. Excuse me. Isaiah 40, verses 28 through 31. Isaiah writes, have you not known, have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak. And to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That is the knowledge that God brings us. And briefly, let's just look at trust. Because you see, when we have this specific knowledge that we just talked about, we can lay hold of the truth that God is good all the time and he never changes. So we trust that. And we are to commit our lives, surrendering completely to whatever God has for us. That's his calling on our life. That's his plan for you and his plan for me. Committing yourself to God's plan. We often have our own agendas in our life, and those own agendas are often very selfish, self-seeking, and not life-giving. When you surrender, though, all of that to him and follow him, he says, I have a way that is much better. And he tells us, just trust me. So if you're hanging on to your own fix-it plan, wherever you are, would you please lay it down, let go of it? Because God has something so much better for you. Jesus himself submitted totally to his Father's plan. Totally. Well, if you think the Son of God does that and you don't need to, you have another thing coming. Jesus went through the humiliation. He went through the pain of the crucifixion because he knew what must come. He knew from Scripture that this was part of God's plan and this was his calling. Think of that for a minute. Think of the enormous trust that Jesus had to have in his Father. Here he was, Jesus, Son of God, Lord of all creation, being crucified by his own people, his own creation. He was taking upon himself all our sins. He knew he was part of God's plan, and he trusted in that knowledge. He was able to live through that little while and die through that little while. Wait 3 days through that little while and rise again. And we are told now that Jesus is waiting, right? Right, waiting at the right hand of God his Father. He trusted his Father and was faithful. And he persevered to the cross, through the cross. And now sitting next to his Father in heaven, waiting for the day when his Father says, today's the day. It's time to go back. And finally, we must persevere and be persistent in the word of God. We must have knowledge to live through these little whiles of life when God is working out his plan in us and through us. We must trust him and know his word. We must believe in him. And we are called to persevere no matter what. There are times in our lives when God seems distant. We know that. And when nothing seems to be happening. And it's dangerous for those times to look elsewhere. I'm going to get through this. I want you to think of Joseph for a little bit. Think about the little time that he spent at the bottom of the well. You wonder if thoughts for him came through like, my family has left me. Nobody cares. Where's God? I might as well live the way the world lives and just get along as best I can. Just need to get out of this well. But Joseph, we were told, was faithful and persistent to stay true to God in his word. In his promise that he was going to work through Joseph. And yet there were times in Joseph's life that God seemed silent. Yet Joseph persisted in prayer. Excuse me. We need the knowledge and the trust and the perseverance that comes through the power of the Holy Spirit who lives inside us. You and I are called as Christians to live with patience. And believe it or not, it is a gift to be long-suffering. It is a gift to us to be long-tempered. It is a gift for us to be slow to anger and abound in love. Thank you. It is a gift for us to be steadfast without compromise or fear or being anxious. And there's one question we need to ask ourselves once again. Is what are we going to do with the time that God has given us? And getting back to the very first question that we had is, I forgot to put it in there. I guess you won't have the question. You're going to get the question in just a minute. The question is, what are you waiting for? What's the purpose that you are living for? I say, isn't it time to live by the Spirit so you don't gratify the desires of the flesh anymore? Isn't it time that we live by the Spirit so that we don't speak things that we pray and that we ask God, why did I say that? Isn't it time that we live by the Spirit and be quiet before Him? It's so easy to give in to this spiritual warfare that we talked about earlier. Linda Thompson had sent me a book, and I wasn't going to speak about it, but I think I have now that I have water. It's a little book that she just sent me, and I just opened it up this morning, and it was just a story about this monastery, and there were monks, and they were known for their incredible joy, and people would come to them, and they would come to be encouraged and to just be lifted up, and they would always come and say, why are you so happy? And they really didn't have an answer. Well, one day, one of the monks started complaining about something another monk had done, and then another one said, well, I don't like that, and pretty soon there was arguing and bittering, and all of a sudden there was no joy. And guess what? People quit coming. People quit coming for answers because I'm not going there. So the guy that at the monastery left, and he went up and he met a friend of his that grew up with him, and he was in the mountains, and he prayed with him, and he said, you got to come up to this mountain with me and look down at the lake. And he went up there, and it was perfectly still. And the sun was shining, and it was down, and the water was reflecting the amazing sunshine, and the whole place was just lit up and bright. And this friend said to the guy that was at the monastery that came for answers, for encouragement, and he said, when you look at that sun, he said, it's basically like God. And he said, and you, brother, are like that lake. And you reflect whatever God has in this life. And he said, when the winds blew, and he said, we were sitting there, and all of a sudden the wind blew, and all of a sudden the sun didn't shine on the lake anymore because the lake was so choppy. And he said, that's what happens, brother, when there's turmoil and when there's confusion and when you're not getting along. He said, you stop reflecting the amazing Son of God and the work that he's doing. That spoke to him so much that he went back to the monastery and he told the guys, he said, this is what's happening. He said, we aren't reflecting what God has for us and who he is in this world. He said, we need to realize that God is with us all the time. How we live our lives by the Spirit reflects who God is in the world. I don't know if that speaks to you the way it spoke to me this morning, but I sat and listened to that, and I thought, that's exactly in my life what I need to do. It's way too easy to get consumed by the hard things of this life. And all of a sudden realize I'm not reflecting Jesus Christ because I'm too consumed with myself. And shame on me for that. And for that, I need to ask for forgiveness. I pray that the joy of the Lord would be in us. When Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice, he didn't repeat it just because it was a fun thing to put into Scripture. He was put there because the Holy Spirit said, put that in there. That's what the living word of God is like. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all that you do in our lives, Lord. Help us to not be lost in the busyness and the craziness and the brokenness of this world around us. Help us to live by truth, the truth of your word, the truth of who you are and how we are created to be. God, speak to us today. Lord, as we sing this last song, help us to realize there is victory in Jesus. And we are to live in that victory. We aren't to live as if we have lost this battle. But you've won the battle already. And that battle belongs to you, Lord. It's not about us. Lord, as we look next week at this another amazing fruit that you have for us, fruit number 5, and we hear about the kindness of God, speak to us this week. May everything that we see in your word and everything that we hear around us be encouraged. May you encourage us by the kindness, Lord Jesus. You tell us in your word how God's kindness leads to repentance. Man, is that a powerful statement? So speak to us now, we pray. Bless us as we close our service singing this amazing song, Victory in Jesus. Amen. Praise team, come on back up. And Bruce Dean, I need you. Sing loud, please, so I don't have to. Please stand.
We have to wait for the piano to wake up.
We got to wait for the piano to wake up.
Yep. Huh? No, it wasn't. I promise.
I'm glad you were going to say it wasn't. I don't have to wait for Bruce to wake up. I put him to sleep again. D, dog.
Think about the words as you sing.
I heard an old story, how our Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save us. Broken spirit.
Lord, we just thank you for today. We praise you for all that you do in our lives. Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit. God, help us to walk by the Spirit. Lord, help us to live in the Spirit, Lord. Encourage us, Lord Jesus, to surrender our lives completely to you and to follow you wherever you lead. We pray that now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Lancaster Covenant Church podcast. For more information on gathering times and the Lancaster Covenant Church community, please visit our website at lancastercovenant.com.